Good morning, Parkway. Everybody have a good Christmas? Amen. You guys are awesome. You're out here on the last Sunday after Christmas. Amen. What a blessing. Hey, your building looks phenomenal. You guys have done amazing. Give yourself a hand. Amen. This is just phenomenal. You've done such a great job. Last time I was here, you had speakers down on the floor. You got them up. Man, it's looking amazing. Sounds amazing in here. Looks beautiful from the outside. Keeping the water out of the building now. Amen. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. And then you have your grand reopening coming on January 25th. I got invited to that. They mailed that all the way from me. Expect me to drive up here. Amen. Awesome. We just might do that. Praise the Lord. So good. So good. But we want to just say, God bless you. It's wonderful to be here. And want to say thank to Pastor Jason and Brooke for allowing us to come and trusting us to be with you this Sunday. And excited. We immensely enjoyed getting to know you last time we were with you back in October. And we know that God has something special for us this morning. How many ready for a good word to take you into a new year? Amen. How many believe God has something special for you in this new year? Amen. Find my goggles. Hallelujah. Let's just pray before we get in the word this morning. Father, we just come in the precious name as we sang of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, this morning we thank you for your grace that is upon this house. Father, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit that's in this house this morning. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to move through this building. You're going to touch hearts and lives. You're going to bring clarity of understanding into every heart and every life that's open to you today to hear your word, to receive it and the life that it contains. Lord, we pray a special blessing over Pastor Jason and Brooke. Lord, that they would be refreshed, strengthened, and encouraged as they lead this congregation into a new season. We thank you, Father, for the blessing they are to this house. And Lord, we thank you for the vision and the heartbeat that you placed in them that now permeates through this house. So we pray your blessing over them. We pray your hand of protection upon them as they travel home. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace and all that you want to do today in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Amen. Well, as you learned last time, I like to use an outline mainly because I like to put something in your hand that will help you retain and study if you want to grow. How many know the Bible says study to show yourself approved? Amen. So it's always been my passion for the last almost 26 years now to put something in the hands of the people that they can take with them and use and to dive into. You won't retain everything that I say to you, but I believe church ought to have something of substance, not just a sermonette. Amen. We need a good meal. How many like appetizers? How many like the whole meal? You know, that we put out all those little snacks and chips and everything else before, but it's good when the meat shows up. Amen. Don't tell me you're an appetizer, church. I should have got a better amen for the meat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're going to take you through something that I believe that will help you and something that the Lord has put in my heart that I do when I study the Word of God. I believe that God gave us principles to live by. Amen. I believe His Word contains principles that we're to live by. And if we can find those principles, and then there's a pattern that goes with that principle. If I identify the principle, follow the pattern, then I get to receive the promise. A lot of people are claiming the promises of God, but they're not following the pattern that God gave us to follow to enact that principle and see it come to pass in our life. So I like finding those. I like teaching those, getting those in the heart of the people. So this morning I'm going to share one of those principles with you that's called being blessed, broken, and given. And we're going to look at it. I put all the scriptures here, references for you. It's going to be coming from Jesus feeding the multitudes. And we call it the 5,000, but actually there was 5,000 men plus women and children. So maybe 15,000 people from one lunch. I mean, no, that's cool. So understanding that, but looking at that, but taking that and breaking it down, but we're going to read one passage there. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 14 if you have your Bibles this morning, your phones, your iPad, your neighbor's tattoo, whatever you read word from. Amen. Some people have enough scriptures tattooed on them. You could get saved just following them around. Amen. That's awesome. Hallelujah. I got convicted the other day in the mall, knelt down and prayed. Man, I read a scripture on a guy. It was awesome. Matthew chapter 14, if you would, look at verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard, speaking about John being beheaded, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. Jesus said to them, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. And when he had commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, somebody say looking up to heaven. Looking up to heaven, watch this, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes, so they all ate when were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now look at your outline with me, and it says this: living blessed, broken, and given is God's kingdom pattern for our lives. Jesus did something there that's so significant. We'll break this down for you a little bit, but follow along with me. God's plan for our life is for his church is one that brings his divine order and purpose to our lives. The life of Christ is an illustration to humanity on how to live in kingdom purpose in the earth. And peace always flows from purpose. So Jesus illustrated through his life how we can live and fulfill kingdom purpose through our lives. There's a threefold cord that flows through everything that is complete. 3 is the divine number of completion. Think about it. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man is spirit, soul, and body. The law of increase for our lives is seed, time, and harvest, and there's so many more. So 3 is, again, the number of divine perfection and completion. So today I want you to look at the specific cord of 3 in our lives, and by being blessed, broken, and given. Blessed by being received by God into Christ. The moment you give your life to Christ, you are blessed. How many want to get blessed? We hear people, oh, I just need a blessing. I found a long time ago that when I give my life to Christ, I'm immediately blessed. Anything he receives, he blesses. Are you doing all right? And so that's where we're always trying to get what we already have. And if I'm trying to get something that I already have, it means I don't believe what I have. Are you doing all right? And God can't operate in unbelief. But if I believe, I'm blessed because he has received me. The moment I'm received by God, I'm blessed. Amen? So now watch this. And then it says being broken by being defined by his purpose. How many would like to have God do what you want him to do? Every one of us. But he wants you to fulfill his purpose through your life. And when you live fulfilling his purpose, something amazing happens. So watch what happened. We're blessed when we give our life to Christ. But then we go through this phase of brokenness. And that's not a comfortable place. And that's a place where we move from our purpose to his purpose. And then he puts us back together. Out of brokenness, he puts us back together. And I forget what this process is. I think it's called Kamichi, something like that. But they take broken vessels and then they put it back together with gold, and it actually becomes stronger than the original vessel. And then he fills our life with his spirit, with his living water, and his all of his fullness. And then we can be poured out to others. Amen? So being broken is separated from my plans. In John chapter 16, we may read it, but what happens is in John chapter 16, after Jesus is feeding the multitudes, the people began to say, hey, we need to move and make him king. We need Jesus to become our king. We need him to fulfill our purpose. And immediately he moves away. And we read it throughout Scripture so many times, people did that. We need to be separated from the arm of man to the hand of God. In Acts chapter 4, they pray, God, that by the stretching forth of your hand, you would do signs and wonders. The Word of God is full of men who didn't respond correctly to God's brokenness and defined purpose through their life. You think about Saul as king. He didn't want to do it God's way. He did it his way. You think about Samuel using the strength and the anointing that God gave him for his own fulfillment. You think about Gehazi, who ran after the man to get the goods that he had and ended up with the leprosy that Naaman had. You think about Judas, who had the same thing, who tried to force the Lord's hand by betraying him because he was a zealot and wanted to overthrow the Roman rule. They refused to go through brokenness. And then you think about what being given means. Being given by God means being sent to meet a need. God has somebody he needs to send you to meet a need. Amen? And he'll work through your life in that level. So we live in the flow and the understanding of this principle. We find the fulfillment in life that we're looking for. Look inside your outline, if you would. I believe when it comes to the miracles of the Lord, it's important to ask certain questions. Number one, why did Jesus do the miracles that he did? You ever wonder, why did he just feed the 5,000? Does he have an identity crisis? Does he need to display his power? Why would he do things like this? What was his purpose? Was he just showing off his power? Or was it for a lesson or a truth, a principle he was revealing to his disciples and to us to walk in? So next few moments, I want to break this down and give you six lessons that we can learn from this and apply to our life. Because I believe if we can learn this and walk in this next coming year, God can bring a great harvest into our lives individually, into your church corporately. Amen? So that's what we're after. Are you doing okay this morning? Excuse me. So follow with me. Let's look at this. Feeding the multitudes. Lesson number one. I believe we're called to live off the increase of being blessed, broken, and given. Go with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. And I want to read verses 1 and 2. Jesus was teaching his disciples, if you'll live by the pattern that I'm showing you, there will always be more than enough left over for you to live off of. When God calls us, how many got saved because you felt the call of God upon your life? You felt the Holy Spirit drawing you to him. That's the Bible says that's how you get saved. Nobody comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So if you're here today and you accepted Christ as Savior, if you're watching online, you've accepted him as Savior, you've done that because he called you to himself. Look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. It says this. Then he called. Somebody say called. He called the 12 disciples together and gave them, say gave. He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them. So they're called, they're given, and they're sent. Watch this. There's another three for you. To preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither gifts, nor bags, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you go, and they skip all the way down to verse 6. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So look at your outline with me. What happened? See, many times we can hear the truth proclaimed, but miss walking in its fullness. That's why it's so important. How many of you are listening with both your ears this morning? Okay, I don't mean just these ears, but you got ears on the inside of you as well. So you need to listen with your spiritual ears as well. Because God's got it. When you hear with your spiritual ears, then the word gets down on the inside of you. Amen. And so with that, we hear these truths. But I've watched this over the years, pastoring over 44 years. We watch this now that people have heard so many great messages, but they're living beneath the power of what's been proclaimed to them. And that's not the will of God. God proclaims it so we can walk in the fullness of it. Amen. That's what our desire is to be. So watch this. The disciples were, watch, God called, God anointed, and God appointed. They were called, and the moment he calls you, the moment you're called by God, you are blessed. Amen. God's called you. I remember blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting there, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And everybody said, hey, be quiet, be quiet. And then Jesus stopped, and he calls him to him. Then they go, hey, the master's calling you. I mean, no, he goes, and he's blessed. Now you're blessed. He's called you, and you're blessed. Watch this. And then they're empowered. He calls them, they're empowered, and that means that power cannot come from the arm of men, but Acts chapter 4 tells us again, from the hand of God. And then they're sent. How are they sent? They're given to be the hand of God to the people. Amen. As Chase was reminding you of all the things you've done this year, your church has been reaching out to your community to be the hand of God to your community. Amen. And God calls you to himself, he empowers you from himself, and then he sends you for himself to be his hand extended into your community. And how do we do that? We do that by living blessed, by being broken and defined by his purpose, and then giving out what he multiplies back into our life to be his hand extended. Are you with me this morning? So look at this. Jesus called them to himself, gave them from himself, and sent them for himself. How much of that had to do anything with them? All they had to do was respond and come and receive. Amen? He didn't ask them to have the power. He didn't ask them to have the provision. Look what he said. Don't even take provision for you. I'll make sure if you're going in the college, I'll make a way. Provision will meet you on the way. See, that's hard for us to understand in our world. We keep trying, well, God's asked me to do that. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how he's going to do that. So let's go back. Why did he feed the multitude? He's trying to show them how kingdom provision comes and flows through our life. Are you doing all right? So watch this. Jesus always called and taught in ways that would take our eyes off of ourselves and place them on the purpose of God in our lives. Our mission is to produce kingdom increase. God's mission for your life, for my life, the moment you give your life to Christ, he has purpose for you, and that is to produce kingdom increase. It's amazing. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, if you want to do a little Bible study, go through and read that there are over 31 times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus emphasized the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. The kingdom was like this. This is how the kingdom works, the kingdom of God. He preached, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of God. Amen? So we're to be kingdom people. Amen? Not just church people, kingdom people. And so he wants us to bring increase into his kingdom. Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. The sower sows the seed, and when it produces some 30, 60, and 100-fold, when it gets in good ground, that's 30, 60, and 100-fold of kingdom increase coming through our life. That's souls being saved, lives being saved and delivered from hell and brought into a kingdom eternity with the Lord forevermore. Amen? You know, Pastor Chase was talking about being a hard year. We just had my mom, who was 95 in October, passed away 2 weeks ago on December 14th. And tomorrow we'll be driving back down to Reading and laying her to rest and having the interment tomorrow for her. But I heard Pastor Tim DeLena say something this morning as we were getting ready. I listened to him preach from Times Square Church in New York there. And he was talking about somebody trying to get him in shape and conditioning everything. He says, yeah, it's important. We should try to live to be 95. You should take care of yourself. Amen? My mom was awesome. 3 years ago, she was 92. She was with us at Christmas, and she was walking. We'd bring her over, and we're out for a walk, and I'm walking behind, and I got my camera, and I'm videoing her, and mom's just going, man. And she turns around and she goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm just videoing you, Mom. She goes, you want me to go faster? That was awesome. And we should strive to do that. We hear about that. We should strive. But more than trying to live to be 92, to be 95, to go faster and walk faster, we should strive to live forever in eternity with God. 90 years here is nothing compared to eternity with God. Amen? So we want to do that. And that's what God has for us, to bring increase into his kingdom where people make heaven. Lesson number 2. Jesus will always ask for all you have. He always asks for all you have. So look at, what do you have? You have a seed. Your life is in seed form to give to him. But your life has to be planted. And when it's planted, then it goes through that place of brokenness. It's being redefined. The purpose of the seed is to be planted, to go through the brokenness, to allow the purposes on the inside to be planted. And it goes from one seed to going to a harvest of fruit. Of multiplication through your life. So one life planted in the soil of God's kingdom produces a kingdom harvest of multiplied increase. Amen? Come on, I'm just an old concrete finisher, ex-drug addict that got saved and answered the call of God upon my life. And the next thing I find out, God says, hey, I'll use you. I'll send you here. I'll send you there. You get to go preach in 11 nations around the world. You get to pastor a church. You get to do all these great things. And I'm just an old dumb concrete guy that got saved. People look at that, well, that's not much of a seed. Well, that's because you can't see what God put on the inside of me. Amen. Never let anybody judge you by what they think you are. God knows what He put on the inside of you, and He gave your life to be planted in the soil of His kingdom to put a harvest through your life that you can't even imagine. Amen. Are you doing all right? Come on. So He always asks for all that you have. His purpose is to show us that all we have will never be enough to fulfill God's purpose through our lives. When we release what we have, He can turn not enough into more than that. What did they say? Hey, well, what's this? We have 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what is this among so many? He says, I major in turning not enough into more than enough. When you give Him your life, quit looking at what you have and what you can do for Him. He's trying to get you to see what He will do through you if you will just release to Him what you have. Are you doing all right? Okay, so watch this. His purpose is to show that all we have will never be enough. When He receives what we have, He can turn not enough into more than enough. When we release it, He turns not enough into more than enough. Turning not enough into more than enough is the ground to turn not enough into more than enough. People have a hard time. Why does the church ask me to give? Because ministry, serving, and giving out to others is the ground of the kingdom that turns not enough into more than enough. It's such an amazing thing. Never for the purpose of getting, but for the purpose of giving. Knowing there will be more than enough left over. You know, you hear a lot of bad raps on prosperity gospel and preaching the gospel because people turn it for covetousness and for the wrong reason. It's not about getting. It's about having more than enough left over. How many know when you turn 5 loaves into 2 fishes into feeding over 15,000 people and you have 12 baskets of fragments left over. How many know that's called prosperity? God has no problem with prosperity. He has no problem with you having more than enough left over. But it's always after you've given. Are you doing all right? We'll break that down a little bit more. So watch this. The ministry is that ground. The process is this. Listen to what Jesus said. Listen to the command. He says, the command comes, you give them something to eat. The question is, what do we have? We have a teenager's lunch. The answer is, that's not enough. What is this amongst so many? Get this morning. Our lack is never a hindrance to God. Your lack is never a hindrance to God. Over all the years we pastored, we never had enough to do what God was asking us to do. I shared it with you, and every time God's told us to plant a church and do these different things, and every place we've moved, we've never had enough. We just had the call on the inside of us. Are you doing okay? Everything, when we moved into our building, when we bought our building, we remodeled our building, everything we've done, we built a Lord's gym, did all those things. We never had any money. We never had any resources. We just had God revealing His purpose, saying, you give them, you minister and you give out and I will make sure it comes. I think I told you a story last time when we first got moved into the building we have now, remodeled our sanctuary. We didn't have any money. We walked in there. I just remember telling the guy, we're going to turn this auto parts warehouse into a sanctuary. I put my arm around him. I said, you know what, Russ? It costs a lot of money to worship God. Can I get an amen? Costs a lot of money to have a facility. Costs a lot of money to have lights. Costs a lot of money to have heat. Costs a lot of money to have your butt comfortable this morning. Amen. You're sitting on an offering. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God for givers. Amen. But we didn't have that. And one guy called us up. I told you his wife didn't even go to our church. She ran our tape ministry. How many remember cassette tapes? She ran our tape ministry. He'd listen to them. He'd go, those aren't very good tapes. He said, well, they need a new duplicator. So he doesn't even come to church. He bought us a new duplicator. And then he calls me up. I hear you're building a sanctuary. I said, yes, I am, Mick. He says, I hear you need some money. I said, yes, I do, Mick. He said, well, I'll give you $10,000. Let me know if you need some more. I said, I need some more, Mick. Amen. But the guy, you took the step, and as you take the step, God provides. He doesn't give you the provision and let you manage it. He asks you to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Living blessed, broken, and given is believing that I can sow my life in the soil of God's kingdom. God will take me through the process of brokenness, revealing what he wants to do through my life. But the provision means that I'm tapping into heaven's resources. I'm a steward of the economy of heaven. I'm not a steward. God doesn't need my checkbook. I don't have enough in my bank account, in my checkbook. All I have is a lunch, and he's asking me to minister to a multitude. But if I give him what I have, if I can trust him with what I have, he'll turn not enough into more than enough. Are you doing all right? Praise the Lord. So again, our lack is never a hindrance to God. What happened to Gideon? How many remember the story of Gideon? God says to Gideon, you mighty man of valor, where's he? He's hiding down there, threshing floor. I'm the least of those. His estimation of himself, I'm the least. I'm not worthy of anything. God says, you are a mighty man of valor. And I'm going to deliver my people through you. And this is what I'm going to do. You're going to send out the call, and the people are going to answer the call. So what happens? 30,000 men of war show up. And God said, that's too many. Because if I give them the victory through that many, they'll get the glory. So this is what you go. Go get them all down there, take a drink, and the ones that kneel down, and they get there, and they drink like this. Those are the ones you'll use. Well, out of 30,000, 300 drank with an awareness that they're being called to battle. And God said, that's your army. That's your army. You see, if you have enough provision, if you're going to do for God what he's asking you to do, it takes no faith. And then you get glory because you made it happen. Amen, preacher. That's a really good point. Had a black preacher in Sacramento, a good friend of mine, Sherwood Carthen. He wrote a book called Amen All By Myself. I think that's where I'm preaching this morning. Watch it. So here's lesson number three, the instruction for not enough to become more than enough. How do you turn not enough into more than enough? First you have to believe that God's a limitless God. You've been called into relationship with a limitless God. When you receive Christ as your Savior, what does he give you as a promise? You have the hope of what kind of life? What? Eternal life. What is eternal life? Limitless life. Everything God gives to you is limitless. You live in a world of limits, and God asks you to step into a kingdom that is limitless. First John 1:16, it says, and of his fullness we have all received. God can only give what he has. And what he has is the fullness of himself, which is limitless. A little while back, I was shaving, my wife looked at my belly. She said, is that growing? I said, yes, I have a big God on the inside of me. Amen. But you have a limitless God. But we think in so many constricting limits. We keep trying to get God into our finite life. And he's trying to get us to step into his limitless life. Are you doing all right? Yeah. So why was Jesus feeding them? What is he trying to show his disciples? Watch this. Look what he says, set them down in order. Give me what you have. This is not about a lunch. It's about a life. He's asking you for all you have. He's asking you for your whole life. Christianity is not Sunday morning attendance, something in an offering, and going home feeling good. Christianity is your whole life given to God to receive his whole life multiplied back to you. Christianity is you. Honey, toss me that bottle of water down over there. Good throw. Amen. She's a slow pitch champion in high school. No, I'm teasing. This is my life. And if I was to go to the ocean and pour my life into the ocean, my little bit of water would lose its identity and be swallowed up in that ocean. God asks you to pour your life into the ocean of His life. And He says, now I will pour back into your life, not out of your little life, but out of my ocean of limitless water. Amen? Are you getting that? And if you can get that going into this next year, say, God, I'm willing. I'm not going to hold anything back. Because, well, I could. What if I get thirsty? Dude, you got an ocean to drink from. See, we keep trying to drink it all the way down and save one little bit just in case the ocean dries up. Because Al Gore was right. Watch it. Give me what you have. What Jesus gave was a living illustration. The kingdom of God is like this. It's giving all you have. It is blessed being received by God. See, the moment I give my life to God, I'm blessed being in Him. I'm blessed. I don't have to get blessed, I am. I think I told you last time, this is how the devil works. The devil wants you to believe what he knows is not true. Again, if I wrote a book saying 7 ways to get blessed, that book would sell out. Because people don't believe they're blessed. So they're trying to get what they already have in Christ. The devil always wants you to believe what he knows is not true. You are the healed of the Lord. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen? And so I agree and I walk in what I already have. Are you doing okay? So important. So watch this. We're blessed by being received, broken by being defined to purpose, and given to accomplishment of kingdom purpose. Look at the bottom of this page. Jesus put back under the hands, that's what they had given him. Everything I've ever given in my life to Christ, he's put back into my life. I've never sown anything of my life. Everything that I've given, every living given to Him, it always comes back in multiplied form back into my life. Not enough has now become more than enough. Blessed, broken. Without brokenness, there can be no multiplication. Given back in multiplied form so they could give it away. It was in their hands to give and not to eat. See, I make sure every time something comes into my life, you have to ask this question, Lord, is this seed to sow or bread to eat? Too many people have eaten their seed. And so they have no harvest. If God brings an increase into your life, you need to ask Him, Lord, how am I supposed to use this increase? Is this seed to sow or bread to eat? Is this seed for my future or is this bread for my now? How many know 2 Corinthians 9 says God supplies both, seed to the sower and bread to the eater? Are you doing all right? So you have to define which is which. So watch this. What are the results? They ate as much as they wanted. They were all satisfied and filled, and there was more than enough left over from their not enough to meet their need. So how does this work in our life? You have to release what you have. Don't hold too tight to not enough. People are holding too tight to not enough. It's not enough. So what can I do with not enough? I give it to the Lord. When I got saved, I didn't have a life. I was a mess. When I got saved at 25, I'd wrecked my whole life. I didn't have anything. And I just said, God, I will give you my life. Jesus loves taking nothing. He loves taking nothing. You're here today and you feel like you don't have much to offer to the Lord. Give all of your nothing to Him. He will take your not enough and turn it into more than enough that you can't even imagine. Amen. I'll never forget, I think I told you last time, but when we were in Denmark, we'd gone to England and then to Sweden and then into Denmark to do this TV show. I said, hey, why don't you sing on TV? I said, this is awesome. I'm singing on TV in Denmark. And then we go back to the house and they go, hey, why don't you share your testimony? I said, this is blowing my mind. I never saw this in my life. I never saw me being here. I never saw me, a 19-year-old heroin addict, getting saved. I never saw me, a failure in life and marriage and losing my son. I never saw somebody who made a failure out of their life being redeemed by God, being given the opportunity to be in a foreign nation and sing for the glory of God on a television station. I couldn't see that in my life. God took my not enough and turned it into more than enough. And I'm here to tell you today that if you're in this room and you think your life doesn't matter to God, if you think you don't have enough to give to Him, God will take your not enough and He'll do something through your life you cannot imagine. So you just sing, saddle up your horses, we got a trail to blaze. Through the wild blue yonder of God, amazing grace. I used to be able to sing, but that was a fun song. So saddle up your horse. Get ready with God. Amen? So how does this work? You have to release what you have. Don't hold too tight to not enough. People always do. But you must live beyond today. Live bigger than today. Live for the glory of God. You have to be able to trust the one who's asking you. Get that. What's your hindrance? I'll tell you straight up, you just don't trust God. You have to trust Him. Trust the one who's asking you for what you have. How do we do that? Think where the disciples are. Nobody had ever done this before. There was nothing natural about the quest. And He's not asking you for your lunch. He wants your life. Anyone can give a lunch to God. Anybody can give Him something. I guarantee in this offering today, I guarantee in this church, there's people who just give lunches to God. Here's my $20. Here's my $2 today. Here's this part. Here's that part. But God, to honor you as you asked me to do with my finances and with my life and in serving, there's people here. See, the Pareto principle works in church as well in the world. The Pareto principle is 80% of the people, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Works in potlucks too. 20% of the people eat 80% of the food. Some of you get that later, amen. So what happens? Lesson number 4, God never has and never will make a natural request from your life. He's not trying to do something natural. You give Him what you have. What do you have? We must fall against the trap of a natural routine with God. We must be willing to do the things that will produce the results God desires to bring about in our lives. Listen to what He says. You feed them. You give them. You be the blessing. You meet the need. This is servant stuff, kingdom stuff. These are the things that He shows to His servants. Well, God's never asked me to do anything. Well, have you given Him your life yet? If you give Him your life, He'll ask you to do something, and He'll do great things through your life. Amen? Give, distribute. What are we called to do? We're called to distribute the bread of life to a lost and dying world. Lesson number 5. In John chapter 6, turn over there real quick. I'll leave this verse with you. John chapter 6. I want you, this is so important, and this is what you need to understand this morning. Are you doing all right? Man. Oh, I'll hurry and get you out because I know you're in a hurry to get to next year. Amen. If I get you out before noon, you can beat all the Baptists to Sizzler. Amen. John chapter 6, beginning verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw the signs which He performed. on those who were diseased, and Jesus went up the mountains and there sat with his disciples. Now the Passover feast of the Jews was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, somebody say Philip. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. Watch this. The Living Translation says this. He asked Philip this, already knowing. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Whatever situation you're facing, whatever situation you think is too great, Jesus already knows what his answer is for your life. He'll ask you, how do you think we should do this? How are we going to meet this need? How are we going to make this happen? And he's waiting for your response to see whether you're going to trust him or whether you're going to rely on the hand of God or whether you're going to reach out with the arm of the flesh in man. Are you doing okay? Watch this. And Philip answered, 200 denarii would not be worth, gets his calculator out. Is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, said to him, there's a lad here, have five loaves and two fishes and two small fish, but what are they amongst so many? Philip breaks out his calculator. He's a great board member. Pastor Shell's a vision. We don't have enough to meet that vision, Pastor. How are we going to make that happen? There's no way we can make that happen. The budget says we don't have enough in there. He's just busy adding it up. Pastor said, we're going to believe God. We're just going to believe God. Let's believe God and see what happens. Let's believe God and see what happens. Let's believe God and see what happens. Let's believe God wants Parkway to be a light in this city. Let's believe God wants us to reach out and do things. Let's believe God, like we said, not looking back at the monuments of our past. Not looking back at maybe what this church should have been. Not reading the history of 50 years of a church, but looking forward to a future. God, what do you have in store? You did all that. You did all that. You brought us through all that to bring us here. Joseph looked back on his life, said, God had to take me there to get me here. And he brought me here for the next level of promotion. God has brought this great church to the next level of the promotion that he wants to do through your life. But he's not going to do it through what you have in your hands. He's not going to do it by what you think you can do with your arm. He's going to do it when you say, God, we're going to live blessed and we're going to live broken and we're going to live given to you that you might bring the increase of your kingdom through our lives individually and corporately through this church, that you might be magnified in Grants Pass, in Southern Oregon and around, and reaching missionaries throughout the world. God, you could do great things through our life. We want to see the harvest that you have ordained for the season we are in, not for the season we had before, but for the future you have in store for us. Come on, give God a good praise. Hallelujah. After her up in lesson, you guys are taking way too long to preach this message. So look at lesson number 5. Jesus always knows what he's going to do. Watch what happened. Where are you looking for your power, for your provision, your direction? He's looking and waiting for your response. The hand of God or the arm of man. In 3 out of the 4 accounts of the response in the Gospels there, they said, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He asked the question to test and to see what Philip would do. What was Jesus testing in Philip's life? His faith and his trust in him. Why was Jesus testing and proving him? God always shows me to me. He always shows me where I'm at in my walk, in my faith walk with him. God, am I trusting you? Lord, I'm just going to step out in this area. When Sue and I stepped down this year in June from pastoring and from the security of everything, God, it was exciting because I go, God, this is a new faith journey with you. God, we're stepping in a new season of believing you. I don't want to live in a place of comfortable. I don't want to live in a place of security. I want to live in a place of risk with God. That I have to believe to see what he will do in this season. Amen? So watch it. He already knew what he was going to do. So watch it. Why was Jesus testing and proving him? To show us to us. He does the same with us. When a need is before you, where will you turn? Do you believe that you can look to God for anything? Do you believe that God will meet and supply any need? you have before you, if you will only give him what you have with more than enough left over in abundance. You got to believe God. See, it goes back. Why was Jesus doing this miracle of feeding the multitude? He wasn't just showing up. He was trying to teach us there's a principle here that you can live by. And you have a choice today. You can say, oh, preacher, I'm glad you're excited about your little sermon, and I'm glad you tried to get it across to us, but I'll just go back to living my life of unbelief. Or no, I'm going to meditate on this. I want to get this. I want to trust God, and I want to see his provision flow through my life. So here's the puzzle. You got to put the, watch this. Here's the puzzle. How can one feed so many? How can one feed so many? All they had was one meal. But why was Jesus doing this? All he had was one life to save all of humanity. He will save them the same way he fed them, by giving his body to be blessed, broken, and given. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 says that on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, this is my body broken for you. This is me giving my life to go through the brokenness of being defined by God's purpose to be your Savior. And if I can sow my life into God's will and go through his brokenness and give my life to you, then I will be the first fruits, the firstborn among many. Are you getting this? What's God asking you to do? Can you give him your life as bread to be broken and given away to others? If you will, God has a harvest that will come through your life for his glory. Let's close. Look at the last page there. One life, the bread of life given to God and blessed, broken, and given to men, where all the partakers are fully satisfied with more than enough. I got saved December 13th, New Life Assembly, on Tuesday night in a prayer room, giving my life to God. And now in all these years, 47 years later, God has always been more than enough. Amen? I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up as we get ready to close. Here's my question as we're closing. This whole last page of the outline is my question. Amen. Do we see him for who he is? Who do you see Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Whenever people recognize Jesus, they would send for the sick. They would beg to touch him, and as many as touched him were made whole because he was always more than enough. How do you see them? See, Jesus, right after feeding the multitudes, he asked disciples, who do you say that I am? That's God's question to you this morning. That's a question to you online. Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he more than enough for you? When a situation rises up, is he more than enough? Is he the one, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. I want to see. I am the healed of the Lord. Is he the provision for your life? Is he the healer of your life? Is he the redeemer of your life? Is he the restorer of your life? How do you see him today? Is he more than enough? Think about it. He asked the disciples, who do the crowd say I am? Quit listening to what people say he is. Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. Some of them ugly. Amen. Some of them have big opinions. Some have small opinions. Some have sideways opinions. Some have broken opinions. Amen. Then we come after he asks him that, then he tells him the cost of discipleship. Look at the cost of discipleship. Here's another threefold cord. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. How come it's not working in my life, preacher? Have you denied yourself? Have you taken up your cross, his purpose for your life? The cross is his defined purpose that comes to your life through brokenness. Have you taken up your cross, and are you following him? Leave one of those out, it doesn't work. You can't. Deny yourself. take up your cross and follow me. Let him redefine your life. Following him will always lead you. Where was Jesus? He was always going to the needs of the people. Always going to minister to the needs of the people. He will always be sending you. If you read the whole story in John chapter 6, amazing. You read the whole chapter of John chapter 6, it puts the whole thing into context, because Jesus ends John chapter 6 declaring that he is the bread of life. Unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But he declared that. But then after declaring that, you know what they do? They all get in the boat and they start to cross over. And as they're crossing over, the storm hits and Jesus behind praying. But then he comes walking to them in the midst of the storm on the water. Somebody needs to hear this today. Jesus always comes to you walking on the storm that you are in. We always invite him into our storm. Jesus doesn't want to be in your problem. He wants you to come to where he is on top of your problem. He always comes walking on top of the storm that you are facing. And he says to you, come and walk with me out here. The answer is out here. It's you coming out here with me. It's not me coming in there with you. Are you doing okay? What did Jesus do to Peter? Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. He says, Peter, come out here where I am. There's so many of you that need to hear that this morning. As I'm going on my lesson, preparing for this morning, the Lord just said, someone here needs to see Jesus walking to them today. There's somebody in this room, maybe somebody online, but somebody is facing problems. You've been overwhelmed. You're like the end of the storm. You've been rowing. You're up against it, and you just know how you're going to make it. You've been frustrated. You've been down. You've been broken. And Jesus says he's coming to you, walking you, and you need to see him coming towards you today. And if you just get out of that place and step out where he is, there's an answer for you in this house today. Lastly, let me close with this. Jesus reveals his true nature and purpose in the living bread come down from heaven. He says he's the bread of life, the living bread. Therefore, he's able to meet every need in abundance with nothing lost. So I ask you today, we have to answer the question, who is Jesus to me? Who do I say he is? Every miracle he did was to bring a revelation of who he is and how we are to live and fulfill kingdom purpose through our lives. See, miracles were never meant to meet the need of a moment. Jesus, look, the people followed him. Oh, you fed us yesterday. We're here for lunch again today. Jesus didn't do miracles to meet the need of a moment, to reveal who he is and his kingdom to our lives. Would you stand with me this morning? His purpose was always to show us who we are in him and what he desires to do through us. So as you close this year, let me ask you this question. Where's your trust? And what are you reaching for? Are you reaching for the arm of man or the hand of God? How are you responding to your test or your storm? Maybe you're here today and God's been calling you to do something for him, but you keep trying, God, how am I going to do that? I never had any idea. I remember when we planted our church. In the Placerville area, we started in Cameron Park. We found a little building. We had to wait for a month until they got it ready for us to be able to use it. And so we met in a Motel 6. But at New Life Assembly, there was a guy there named John Larimer. I need to remember. And John goes, he's a lawyer. Now, let me get this straight. You're going to go to a city where you know nobody. Are you going to plant a church? I go, yeah. He goes, how are you going to do that? I said, I'm going to go to a city where I know nobody. And I'm going to plant a church. And I'm going to believe God. Because I believe I have thus saith the Lord in my heart. I believe God's sent us there. Well, how do you do that? He goes, I just don't understand how you do it. He said, you have to tell me when your first service is, because I have to come see this, because I don't know how that's going to work. So
So I said, John, this is our first. He shows up. He says, I still can't believe you're doing this. You got people here. How do you do this? How do you get people here? I said, John, you step out where there's no visible means of support. You step out into kingdom business. And you watch God make it happen. And now 36 years later, that church is thriving. It's been passed on to the next generation. It's going stronger because you just say yes to God. There's some of you here today, God's been asking you what to do, and you're doing the John Larimer. Well, God, how's that going to work? I don't understand, how's that going to work. There's nothing there to support me. How am I going to get there? He says, if you don't go, you'll never see what I can do. How many are ready for 2026 that has your life living blessed, broken, and given? Amen? God's got great things for you. He's got great things for Parkway Christian Center. God's going to explode in this region through your obedience to Him if you'll just say yes. Bow your head to me this morning. This can be an amazing year like you've never seen before in your personal lives and in this great church. If you'll choose to give Him your whole life, nothing held back, and believing to see the promise of being blessed, broken, and given fulfilled through your life and through your church. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're here today and you've been trying to serve God. You've been trying to turn your life around. You've been trying to make it right, but as of yet, you haven't fully given your life to Christ. But this morning, you know this is your day. God brought you here to hear this message and to make this decision this morning. If you're watching online, it's the same for you. This is your day to say, God, I'm no longer holding something back. I'm going to pour my life into the ocean of your kingdom. I'm going to lose my identity, and I'm going to trust that if I pour my life and give my life to you, that your kingdom increase will be upon my life. Your blessing will be there. You'll meet every need. And you'll use me and send me. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Don, you know what? I've been holding back. As of yet, I haven't completely given my life to Christ. But today, I'm not going to go into a new year holding back. Today, I'm going to completely give my life to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to live and serve Him the rest of my life to see His kingdom receive increase through my life. That's you today. I want you to just raise your hand. I know there's people in this building that need to make that commitment that you're saying yes to God. Yes, sir, I see you. Anybody else? Come on. Who is that this morning? Up in the balcony, who is it this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. When they begin to sing here in just a moment, thank you up there, sir, I see you. Come on, they begin to do that. I want you to move. Well, they begin to pray in just a moment. I want you to move to this altar. You have to get out of the boat where you are. You need to step out of the boat, walk to where He is. There's somebody in this building this morning. You're that person. You've been holding on. God's been asking you to do something, but you've been reaching to the arm of the man. You've been doing the John Larimer. You can't figure it out, but you're ready to say, Lord, this year, I'm going to say yes to you and your call upon my life. I believe you called me to yourself. I believe you're going to anoint me and empower me from yourself. So I'm going to allow you to send me for yourself. This year, I'm going to allow my life to be sent, believing I'm called and anointed and appointed to do what you're asking me to do. If that's you, raise your hand. Who needs to answer that call this morning? Thank you. Who else? Come on. God's calling you. I know God's got more in this church. God's got great things to do through this church, but He does it through His people that say yes. Yes up there. Yes in the balcony. Yes to you. God bless you. Hallelujah. If you're in the boat and you've been in that storm, and you can't see a way out, and you know Jesus is walking to you today, and you're ready to get out of the boat, out of your problem, out of trying to figure out, and just walk to Him on the water of your problem. Then as they begin to come, as they sing, and all these people begin to come and meet right here at this altar, we're just going to say yes to God going in this new year. Then you come right now. God's going to meet you right now, right here. Right here, right now. I know there's a young lady that needs to move in this house today. God's speaking to you, young lady, that he's come to you walking on top of your storm, and he's ready to meet you here today if you'll just get out of your boat and come to this altar today. While they sing, you raise your hand to give your life to Christ, to answer that call, or to get out of that boat. You come as they sing right now in Jesus' name. Come on, you raise your hand. Come on and move to this altar. Come on, let's pray. Come on, church.
I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do.
I know we have prayer partners.
I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do.
Father, we thank you today. God, you are so gracious in our life. Lord, we're going to reach for you. We no longer want the hand of man. We understand you're asking us to sow our life into your kingdom, to give you everything. You don't want our lunch, you want our life. So we say yes. We give you our whole life. We answer your call. And we're going to let you send us to be your hand extended. Thank you for calling us to yourself. Thank you for giving us from yourself. Thank you for sending us for yourself to our world. Lord, I believe Parkway is going to reach this community in a greater measure than ever before. I pray your anointing upon this church. I pray your increase over them. And Lord, I thank you that their outreach will go further than they ever thought was possible. Thank you, Father. Thank you for taking the faith of this house and causing it to increase and abound throughout this whole region. Lord, I bless this house today. I bless these pastors. I bless this staff. And I bless this people. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, could you give God one good praise? Come on, your last chance. Come on, give him one good praise. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a good God. God bless you. Have an awesome afternoon. Have an awesome day. Bless somebody. Be a blessing to somebody today. We love you. We'll see you again. God bless you, Parkway. It's here.